You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Sacred Space, hosted by Beatrice Corbo.
Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Burn away my fears and wipe away my tears, and trust in you all here, Holy Spirit.
Hello, and welcome to Sacred Space. I'm your host, Beatrice, and I'm leading you in preparation for this consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We are on day 21, and today we will reflect on Be the One with Mary. But first, let us pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy, hear and answer me. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Day 21. Be the One with Mary. In case the list of 12 duties that we covered yesterday has got some of us feeling overwhelmed, today we'll focus on a simpler way of remembering the essence of Mother Teresa's consecration to Mary. Be the One. Or more specifically, be the one with Mary. What does this mean? The main clue comes from the offertory verse, Psalm 68, verse 21, for the Mass of the Feast of the Sacred Heart. My heart had expected reproach and misery, and I looked for one that would grieve together with me, and there was none. I sought one that would console me, and I found none. Mother Teresa responds, be the one to console Jesus by satiating his burning thirst for love. She writes, tell Jesus, I will be the one. I will comfort, encourage, and love him. Be with Jesus. He prayed and prayed, and then he went to look for consolation, but there was none. I always write that sentence, I looked for one to comfort me, but I found no one. Then I write, be the one. So now you be that one. Try to be the one to share with him, to comfort him, to console him. So let us ask Our Lady to help us understand. That last sentence is key. We need Our Lady to help us understand the thirst of Jesus. She's the one who consoles him best. She's the spouse of the Consoler, the Holy Spirit. Through Mary, the Holy Spirit can help us understand what it means to be a consoler of the heart of Jesus. Let us try in a special way to come as close as a human heart can come to the heart of Jesus and try to understand as much as possible Jesus' terrible pain caused to him by our sins and his thirst for our love. Thank God Our Lady was there to understand fully the thirst of Jesus for love. She must have straightaway said, I satiate your thirst with my love and the suffering of my heart. Yes, we can thank God for Our Lady. She teaches us to be the one with her, consoling Jesus on Calvary. She helps us to straightaway say, Jesus, I satiate your thirst. But what exactly does this mean? What does it mean to satiate the thirst of Jesus? Two things. To console Jesus, the head of His mystical body, and to console Him and the members of His body. How do we console Jesus, the head of the body? By being apostles of joy, which means to console the Sacred Heart of Jesus through joy. And we do this especially with Mary's joy, for Mother Teresa continues, please ask Our Lady to give me her heart. Mary is the one who, despite her own trial of darkness, praises and thanks God in all things, smiles at Him, and consoles Him with her love. It's simple and beautiful. Mother summarizes it by her trademark three virtues: total surrender to God, loving trust, and perfect cheerfulness. Basically, it's to be as a child with Mary, smiling at Jesus and loving Him from the foot of the cross. Now, how do we console Jesus in the members of His body? By recognizing their thirst. Everyone thirsts, rich and poor, young and old, believer and unbeliever. Everyone has a restless heart for God, for man is a restless thirst. To console Jesus in others is to respond to their suffering, especially to the deepest, most universal suffering, the thirst for love. We should respond to this thirst in others, not with indifference, but with a gentle smile that says, I delight that you exist, and I too understand the pain of the thirst. Mother explains, the greatest evil is the lack of love and charity, the terrible indifference towards one's neighbor. People today are hungry for love, for understanding love, which is much greater and which is the only answer to loneliness and great poverty. By accepting her own thirst with Mary's help and not running away from it, Mother Teresa could understand the thirst of others, both Jesus on the cross and Jesus in her neighbor, and she became a true apostle of mercy and joy, a true missionary of charity. Today's prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, living in Mary, help me to be the one to console Jesus with Mary. And that, dear friends, concludes day 21, and I leave you with the following to reflect upon. Jesus speaks in the Gospel of longing to gather Jerusalem as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings for comfort, but they wouldn't accept it. What is so important about consolation that God the Holy Spirit names Himself the Consoler or Comforter? Whom do you console in your personal relationships? How do you do it? Do any of those you seek to console refuse you? If so, how does it make you feel?
You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with Sacred Space, hosted by Beatrice Corbo.
Once again, I welcome Enzina DeAngelis and Boots Montano for being here today to discuss the readings of Week 3. Welcome, ladies, and thank you for being here to share your thoughts and views on and reflections on St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you again.
So let us first begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, ladies, I'd like to begin exploring the notion of suffering as it manifested itself to Saint Mother Teresa and in her life. We learn that she experienced great darkness, yet she never abandoned her faith. It only increased. Saint Mother Teresa states, "Suffering has to come because if you look at the cross, he has got his head bending down. He wants to kiss you. And he has both hands open wide. He wants to embrace you. Then, when you feel miserable inside, look at the cross and you will know what is happening. Suffering, pain, sorrow, humiliation, feelings of loneliness are nothing but the kiss of Jesus, a sign that you have come so close that he can kiss you." Wow. These are such powerful words, especially in a world where we always try to avoid sufferings. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree. It's a very powerful set of words and sentiments, and I've just the image of it too. Like before I knew of this thought by Mother Teresa, Saint Mother Teresa. I have never in the past looked at the cross in that way. I've never looked at the cross and looked at Jesus with his arms open wide because he wants to embrace me, and with his head bending down because he wants to kiss me. It's like you said, it's extremely powerful and something we don't think about. And in terms of how we think of suffering, again, like, first of all, it's difficult to suffer, and most of us would rather not. And also, it's ingrained by our society as well, that we should always be looking for feeling good and happy. Not that that's not something to aspire to, but suffering is really not something. It's not even sometimes talked about because we're just told that we shouldn't even look at it. So looking at this, with Jesus doing this for us and a symbol of his love, and then when we are feeling our sufferings, feeling as though I feel she's saying that when she feels those feelings of suffering, whatever it might be, she's actually feeling the sufferings of Jesus, and it's almost like it's not hers. It is hers, but it's not. It's also Jesus' sufferings. And I just find that that's so amazing to know that you're seeing those, you're feeling that way because you're feeling the sufferings that Jesus is suffering for you. And then that he is trying to get so close to you through suffering, and for you to recognize that and to feel like he's coming so close to you, and that in a way helps to alleviate whatever suffering you're going through, because you feel like now Jesus is so close to me. Even though I'm feeling the suffering, he's very close to me, and he's always there to care for me and to love me and to help me. So it's a really, really interesting way to look at suffering, for sure.
So true, so beautiful. It, like you said, our society, we try to avoid suffering, but sometimes you just cannot avoid it, and you need to have a different perspective, a different way of dealing with it. And it's only by uniting ourselves with Mother Mary, because she suffered at the foot of the cross, just as her son was suffering on the cross. So by uniting ourselves to our Blessed Mother, we do unite ourselves to her Son, Jesus. And that union of suffering gives us the strength and the courage to move on in that moment of suffering.
Yes, yeah. Yes, so true, so true.
Thank you, Enzina. Boots? Any reflections, any thoughts?
Jesus on the cross is really, really shows us the greatest love that God has for all of us. And seeing him there and saying that we are all sinners, and that's why he's there. He's there for us, and he has so much mercy. He has an ocean of mercy, and all we have to do is really to return that love he has for us. So it is the love and charity that we can do to our neighbor, the very least. And that is the same way as showing God that we love him and that we all want to be with him, to see him face to face when that time comes. But before we can do that, we have to repent, right? Repentance is the key to the salvation of each one of us. And Mother Teresa's message really is love and charity. And this is proven through many years how she loves each and every one, especially the most marginalized. She has fed them. She has treated them. She has slept with them. She is day in and day out. She's always with the poor. And these are all children of God.
Yes. It's so true, because there has to be a great sense of union with Christ in order to live your life like Mother Teresa did among the poor, and to embrace them, not to be afraid to touch them, to be there, to give of herself, to give them dignity. So there has to be a divine intervention. And going back to consecration to Mother Mary, if you were to explain to somebody why the consecration to Mother Mary would be useful in life, in dealing with one's suffering or in dealing with the adversities that life present, what in one word would you be used to say to them?
I'm not sure if I could do it in one word.
Well, oh, maybe more, two or three words.
Mother Mary was there. As Boots was mentioning, and yourself too, at the foot of the cross. And she was sharing in her son's suffering. So she knows what it's like to be in very deep sorrow and suffering. And so by consecrating ourselves to her, she's like our ally. Like she knows also how to comfort us and how to give us, like, I don't know if the word is skills, but ways to be able to deal with suffering as well. So so that's my one word.
Thank you.
Looking at Jesus at the cross brings me our devotion to the seven sorrows of Mary. Because the seven sorrows of Mary tells us about the prophecy of Simeon, right? And then there is the flight into Egypt. And then these are all her sufferings. And there is when she lost Jesus in the temple. And then comes when she meets Jesus on Calvary. Then his crucifixion. And then brings us to when they take down his body from the cross. And the last one is his burial. So when you look at the cross, this really brings to your mind the sorrowful mother, right? What she has gone through. And for the love of, you know, her son. And so we go to her to be able to go to Jesus. And so there's that closeness,
yes,
right? She's very close to her son. And so we want to be close to her to be close to her son.
True.
Yeah.
After listening to what was discussed here, we spoke a lot about suffering, but the word that comes to my mind is joy. Consecration to Mother Mary brings you joy, because Mary helps us through that suffering. In unifying ourselves to Jesus, we experience suffering, but the suffering is such at a deep level that you can't help not noticing the joy in that suffering because of the love that we are called to give to one another.
Right.
And I just want to share a personal experience where I experienced this when I was with my dad who was passing away from Parkinson's. I mean, I watched him become wither away, and there was a lot of suffering for me to watch him. But at the same time, every night I would pray to Mother Mary to help us, to help me, to help my dad. And in that suffering, at one point, I just felt a deep sense of joy that it wasn't all about me. It was really about Jesus working through my father for me to feel that deep, deep love. And it was through consecrating myself to Mother Mary that I was able to put joy and suffering together.
Yes, beautiful. Thank you for that beautiful story.
Thank you very much for being here today, ladies.
Thank you too.
Thank you.
Come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, burn away my fears, and wipe away my tears, and trust in you are here. Holy Spirit,
you have been listening to Sacred Space, hosted by Beatrice Corbo, here on Radio Maria Canada. If you have any comments or questions, please send them to sacredspace@radiomaria.ca. To learn more about this program, please visit radiomaria.ca/sacredspace.